against the front of the horse, the pole. Everything is attached to that collar. And you control that 1,500-pound animal with a couple of little reins. Four if you got two. Yoked together. A yoke is a symbol of submission. A disciplined life, or a yoke is a symbol of submission. Therefore, a disciplined life is one of submission, or is submissive to the authority of Jesus Christ. I think three words are involved in this kind of submission that you might want to take with you. Number one is control. Control. The disciplined life is under Christ's control. The problem is we cannot control ourselves. And we get out of control. And we need to be brought under the control of Christ. The disciplined person has a meek spirit. The word meek is pictured as the taming of a wild horse. You've heard this illustration, I'm sure. When a horse is tamed, it is broken. That doesn't mean it's in pieces, and we got to go pick up the pieces, but you're breaking that horse. Breaking that horse from being under his own control to being under the control of the rider and responding to the rider and doing the will of the rider, then we can say that horse is broken. He's responding. He's no longer wild. He is tamed. It is broken by the rider, brought under the rider's control. A disciplined life is broken by Christ's control. Christ doesn't want a piece of this and a piece of that and a piece of that. No, it's a reference to control. Yielding control. Not my will, but thine be done. Control is a good word. Christ's life was perfectly disciplined. He was always under the control of the Father, without exception in the Word of God. He's under the control of the Father. He speaks what the Father speaks. He does what the Father wants him to do. He was under control. Always under control. And as Jesus was to his Father, so we are to be to him. As Jesus was under the Father's control, we are to be under Jesus' control. And the example is his relationship with the Father. That's the example of what our relationship should be under Christ, his control. We're to be under his control constantly. Our will trained to do his will. That's what life is. Life is a training ground. learning to be under his control and learning that he is in control and submitting to that control in your life. Jesus' life was perfectly disciplined. And we must strive to be consistent, disciplined, trained, if we're going to maximize our usefulness to the kingdom of God. You'll probably recognize an illustration. People get a dog, and they take this dog to the trainer. Those that work with animals, and they call it obedience school. And the trainer takes the animal and teaches. I don't know how they do it, but they have that gift. And after so many days or so many weeks or so many lessons, the animal is given back to the owner. Now that animal is not perfect. That animal still has an animal nature. Don't forget that. A dog is still a dog. See, they're smarter than human beings. There are men who think they're women and women who think they're men. Dogs don't do that. Cats don't do that. And so there may be some time that this dog has been to obedience school. He's learned what control is. He's learned how to obey the master's voice and so forth. But many times, we're like the dog. We snap back at God. And others. We're disobedient. That's disobedience to the master's control. Our attitudes and actions are undisciplined. We've been taught better, but that yoke is one of Christ's control over us. Control, consent. We become disciplined when we consent to be disciplined. We present ourselves. That's what 12:1 is saying. 12:1 is Paul giving consent and asking the people of Rome to give consent, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Do with me what you will, God. Teach me what you want me to know. Consent. We become disciplined when we consent to be disciplined. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice by coming to Jesus, as Matthew 11:28 invites us. Take my yoke upon you, he said, and learn about me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. No one forces us to do these things. If we are to walk as he walked, we must yield ourselves to him. His control. And then the third word that I would share with you here is completeness. Control, consent, completeness. This word involves all of life under Christ's control. All of life is a total discipline. It is total discipline that he demands. How disciplined are we to be? And this is the point that really spoke to me, maybe to you. How disciplined are we to be? Well, let me give you some scriptures that I think that will answer this particular question. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought," here's where I want to get to, "bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Every thought. That's pretty extensive, isn't it? Every thought. Bring every thought into obedience to him. Matthew 4:4 says that we must give account of every idle word. Give account of every idle word. How many idle words we speak during the day? Frivolous, empty, idle words that have no significance at all. That's pretty extensive, isn't it? That's pretty complete, isn't it? Every idle word. We're to take up our cross. Take up our cross daily and follow him. Not just Sunday morning. Most aren't doing that, as we can look around and see here or anywhere. This probably is our all-time low today. But we're to take up our cross daily and follow him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the command is, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks. Not just the good things, pleasant things. Not just the things that make us happy. We should give thanks. But we should so be under his control and so completely sold out that in everything we can say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." So all of life is under Christ's control. He is to be the center of all of our goals, the center focus, the single focus of our lives. And may I say, it's not our family. It's not where we live. It's not our house. It's not our bank accounts, our investments. These are not the focus of our lives. He is to be the focus of life. Then the fruits of the disciplined life, and we'll wrap up with this, but it'll take a few minutes. The fruits of the disciplined life. We've talked about the root of the disciplined life. Now let's talk about the fruit of the disciplined life. The root of the disciplined life will be evidenced or manifest by the fruit of such a life. The root of a disciplined life will give evidence to the fruit of that life. So ask yourself these questions. They are personal, they are probing, and they help us to see ourselves. How disciplined is your attitude about yourself, God, and others? How disciplined is your attitude toward yourself, toward God, or others? Do you have a love for the Lord and a love for others? Number two, how disciplined are your words? The psalmist said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, what you dwell on intellectually, what you think about, what comes out of your mouth and what you think about. Are to be acceptable in his sight. How disciplined are your words? You ever caught yourself thinking along a certain vein and you all of a sudden say, "I shouldn't be thinking about that. I should not be thinking about that. Get behind me, Satan." Number three, how disciplined are your morals? We are to seek the most thorough moral purity possible. We're to be morally pure. How disciplined is your worship? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, Psalm 100 and verse 4 says. And Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, the Hebrew writer says in 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly. How disciplined are you in the grace of giving? 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, two chapters given over to giving. And the Christians in Paul's churches, Gentiles, an offering was being received to send to Jewish believers in Jerusalem that were going through very, very difficult times because of their testimony for the gospel. And Paul talks about the grace of giving. Is giving a grace that you experience or a task that you endure? Is giving a joy or is it painful? He tells us to determine in our hearts and give. Give and it shall be given unto you, Luke 6:38 says. give, and it shall be given. First part of that verse is our responsibility. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Who's going to do that? God's going to see that that takes place. God's going to see that that takes place. It's been remarkable. I have to testify to that. It's been remarkable what God has done in our lives financially. We're not wealthy, but it's been amazing what God has given us. When we started in the ministry 60 plus years ago, I always forget how many, 63, 64 years, our salary was $80 a week. And a one-room house, a one-bedroom house. Oh, what memories of that place. That was the parsonage. I had never worked, raised on the farm. I didn't receive a salary. I worked and learned to work. But you know, giving $8 a week, that was difficult to start with. I hadn't been through it. I hadn't learned. Giving $8 a week was hard. I was up in our attic several years ago where we got a lot of stuff stored. We've got checkbooks and old records from our first ministry up there. And I was thumbing through those things. After 3 years, we got a $6 raise to $86. And there was the check stub for $8.60. And then we went to Orleans, and we got paid a whopping $125 a week. Oh, that was $12.50. Now, I'm just talking about tithing. I'm just talking about tithing. Learning to do that. Learning to take, as Dave, what's the finance guy, Dave somebody? What's his name? Ramsey, Dave Ramsey. That was a baby step. It was a baby step. Baby step that has led to a lot more giving, far beyond a tithe. Most people don't think they can tithe. But we've seen God take a tithe and turn it in multiple, multiply it in so many ways. And provide in so many ways. How disciplined are you in the grace of giving? Give and it shall be given unto you. And Paul said in here in the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, he said, God loves a cheerful giver. It means joyful. It actually means hilarious. In the Greek, God loves a hilarious giver. You don't see too many hilarious givers in the church, but that's what the word means. God loves that. How disciplined are you in your devotional life? Jerry and I talk every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night. And then any other time we want to. But we have those 3 days, Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. And I'll say, well, Bud, how'd your day go today? And he'll go through his day. Tell me where he went, what he did, how work was. And he'll tell me, he's not conscious of this. he'll say somewhere along, I had my devotions this morning, or I had my devotion this afternoon. That's a part of his day. That's a part of his day. That's what he does. Discipline. They were with us a couple of weeks ago during Jan's birthday celebration time, and I knew he was in the house, but didn't know where he was. And the bedroom that he's staying in is next to the hallway bathroom. And the door, the room was closed, the door to the bathroom was closed, so I didn't know which one he was in. So I knocked lightly on his door, and waited for a moment, and then he said, come in. There's one chair in there, and he was sitting in that chair with his Bible, reading and praying. See, that's a part of his daily discipline. His devotional life is a part of daily discipline. Jesus taught prayers both public and private, silent and spoken, seeking and waiting. Disciplined prayer is personal, honest, specific, consistent. That's a hard one for me. Consistency. Consistency. It's like New Year's resolutions. Man, you're hot for a week or two, and then you sort of drift off the path. Being consistent, that's a part of discipline. And devotions ought to be part of discipline. And the last one, how disciplined are you in your ministry? How disciplined are you in your ministry? You say, well, I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. God has given a ministry to every one of his children. God has a plan. We teach that. God has a plan for your life. You're not here as a random thought. But God has a purpose. God has a ministry. And beyond that, as a believer, he's given you at least one spiritual gift. I believe that. Some people have a couple of spiritual gifts in which they excel. He's given you those spiritual gifts to enhance your ministry, to use in ministry. How disciplined are you in your ministry? It's both a privilege and a responsibility to be in ministry. You may not be a paid pastor or a paid official of some kind in the local church. That's nothing to do with what I'm talking about. As a Christian, you have a ministry, and you have a gift to enhance that ministry. We're talking about fruits of discipline, the fruits of a disciplined life. So to renew my walk may mean a change of masters and a change of direction. It will result in fulfillment in your life rather than frustration. It will mean a life of rest in your soul. Spiritual rest, spiritual peace in your life. This is the prayer that the church needs to pray. Renew my walk, Lord, and renew my church. It begins with the individual. And then when we come together collectively, we pray, Lord, renew the church. Thank you for the penetration of your word, the conviction of your word. It addresses us where we are. It shows strength, it shows weakness. It shows blessing, it shows sin. But if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us. Lord, we want that. We want that. We want to be faithful. Faithful to you. Faithful in our service. Lord, renew us that the church might be renewed. Not just Bible Center, but churches everywhere, Father, that are holding forth the word of life, that are preaching the true gospel, that are preaching the blood of Christ, that are preaching the soon return of Christ. Strengthen those feeble hands, Father, that sometimes hang down because of weariness, because of overwork. Strengthen the body. Strengthen the body of Christ, the spiritual body, as well as the physical body. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.